But still, you cannot delineate. And this explains, gentlemen, it goes back to what I just said about being careful of your language that you employ in setting this forth. That's what caused Flacius to go so far. He wanted so much to emphasize the total depravity that he made the mistake of saying, since the fall, there is no difference anymore between the nature of man and original sin. Now, you can appreciate the poor fellow's dilemma because he meant well, but he was wrong. And his brethren had to tell him, you're wrong. You can't hold to that. And he was pig-headed enough to stick to it, you see. So that's what happens. You mean well, and you think that you're saying the right thing, but you say too much sometimes if you don't stick closely to the divine revelation in the matter. And this is a case in point. So, what we are trying to bring out, and you might want to highlight those words in this paragraph, by which the nature, essence, or total man is corrupted, and so on, are not one and the same thing. The two are not one and the same thing. In other words, man's nature and original sin, which saturates the nature, are not one and the same thing. Now, that's what Flacius was teaching.
What is the nature of man? I'm not quite sure.
The nature of man is what is born of the woman. Man in his totality, as he is born, that is originally God's creation. Because every offspring after Adam and Eve, every creature after Adam and Eve in the human race is a carbon copy of the nature which God created. First of all, making Adam out of the dust of the ground, and then fashioning Eve from the rib of Adam. That is reproduced through childbirth. That's the nature.
Did you say that the nature of man is born original sin?
The nature of man is not original sin.
But the nature of man is born original sin.
Correct. That's correct. Now, here all that we are saying is that what you have just indicated does not make the nature of man and original sin one and the same thing. All it is really highlighting is the fact that original sin came into the nature which God originally created. Say that again. Right. Condition. Really, right. Did somebody want to ask Mr. Anton?
Yeah, we were talking about this idea of being very careful about our language. And again, I find right in here where it talks about the Manichaean error, it says it's not like it's poison being added to wine. And yet on the very next page, he's describing the correct Lutheran position, it uses the term poison. And that seems to create a little bit of a problem, wouldn't it? Just a semantic problem?
You have to follow the illustration through and take everything that was implicit in the illustration, you see. Because there's no denying the fact that man's nature has become poisoned. That is as stark a fact as you could ever want to face. But it isn't the way if you would simply throw some poison into wine and you'd see that crawling around in there until finally you don't see the difference anymore. That's not the idea, you see. Yeah, Mr. Fairman. I'm not following you.
When they're talking about poison, that's one situation that they can't use that.
a reference to that, to the way that Striegel used the word.
That simply highlights the fact that so much care has to be exercised, so that on the one hand, when a person is speaking, you've got to pin him down to accurate language. You can't let him get by with sloppy phraseology, because that's a dangerous business. You can use one and the same word. Just like yesterday, we were talking about lust. You know, in one sense of the term, and lust in another sense of the usage, so that you have to articulate as plainly and carefully as you can. And the overall rule that we have laid before us here is that we want to stick to Scripture. Let's not get any of our own ideas or any philosophical formulae mixed into this, as though we were being smart, we're sort of hamstrung, and that's what Article 1 really wants to help us to do, so that we will not become careless in the way in which we present this matter, because that would give rise to misunderstandings, and then, of course, the whole effort would be aborted. So now what follows, gentlemen, and this you may read, you perhaps have read it, and I hope you have. But here, then, you are approaching that very heart of this article, which shows that Flacius's position, by saying that after the fall there is no difference anymore between the nature of man and original sin, that causes you to be in conflict with four doctrines of the Scriptures. And I'll point them up to you quickly. The next paragraph, section 34, on page 869 in Triglutta, which begins in the middle with, "Moreover, the chief articles of our Christian faith constrain and compel us to maintain such a distinction, as was just indicated. In the first place," now that's the doctrine of creation. Then on page 515 at the bottom, or in Triglutta on page 873 at the top, "Secondly, the article of redemption." Then on page 516, section 45, "Thirdly, in the article of sanctification." And then next paragraph, section 46, "Fourthly, concerning the doctrine of resurrection." And so you have shown there very plainly what you would arrive at if you follow Flacius, and what you arrive at when you speak scripturally, and how you avoid being in conflict with those four articles, or how you go directly against any one of those four articles and all of them if you follow Flacius. So with that, you can engage yourself, and then we'll wrap this up, so far as Article 1 is concerned, tomorrow.